From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yes, sir, we are. The Forum for the Fans, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Going to talk some hoops, our squad, the New York Knicks, and then, of course, around the NBA. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes could be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify for the Millennials. We're going to talk some news, man, within our own team. We're going to talk around, you know, the cases with the COVID. We got waves of NBA teams going down to Florida, getting ready for a couple of scrimmages later on in the month and resuming the regular season. It's a fun time around with sports, man. We got the baseball earlier this week. We talked about the baseball on Monday, a fantastic episode. Shout outs to those stakeholders on the baseball with the Yankees around Major League Baseball 60-game season. Fantastic dialogue with RP on the NHL with the two hub NHL cities. Now we have the hoops, man. We got the hoops. We got the basketball, man. We're going to discuss our squad first, and then we'll get to the rest of the league, man. But I hope everybody's staying safe. I hope everybody's well, and loved ones and all that, man. Through times, we just got to stick together, man, for real, for real. Our source for the streets for our Knicks, Hall of Famer, of course. I would love to induct this brother, this Knicks fan Hall of Fame. Please let me induct this brother, man, the Knickerbocker Avenue himself. What's up, Chief, man? It's been a while. Let's talk some Knicks, man, and then get to the rest of the league, sir. How's everything, boss?
Well, man, it's been a while since I've been on. And this pandemic, and of course, you know, if you're living in New York City, the phases of going back to work and trying to get an adjustment on life, only for me, personally, I'm out of work again because I'm about to have surgery on my left knee. Apparently, I have a, you know, some things floating around in there and things I got to get done. But,
dude, crazy.
I can barely walk on it. It's completely swollen. They took an X-ray. Basically, I have some water in my knee, plus bone fragments floating around, plus the whole thing is swollen to death. So as long as I'm wearing a knee brace and I'm taking pain meds for the time being, I can walk on it, just can't apply too much pressure on it. But in the mornings are killer. It's just getting out of bed. It's just, it's bad.
How long has this been going on, man?
This has been going on for about a couple of weeks now, and I've had knee problems, you know, ever since I got out of the military 20 years ago almost, and you know, it's been a come and go thing. Now this one's back and it's not going anywhere, not unless we start doing something to it. But I'll be fine. I'm not retiring or anything like that. I'm still here. I'm not gonna baby it. I'm not gonna just do, you know, just sit around and do nothing. I'm gonna do as much as I can, to get myself to 100% and eventually hit the courts again and start doing some fun stuff again. But
no doubt,
dude. So this is kind of like the phase one for me, to start having fun again. You know, coming back on the forum, talking about our Knicks, talking about the NBA at large, talking about sports in general.
Hey,
it's about time. But before we start talking about the Knicks, just what we've been seeing so far on in mini camp and in the inter squad games with the Yankees, don't you feel like the rest of the league is in really, really big trouble, you know, having to face this team?
Yes and no. We'll talk about a little bit about it. Yes and no, because it's the 60 game thing, man. That's a huge deal, man. You know sports, bro. Dude, anybody has a chance. Even the Baltimore Orioles have somewhat of a chance. Now, I don't give them a lot of chance, but 60 games, bro, 30 plus teams, all you need is some luck with pitching, and you are in it, man. It's going to probably be at least 23 to 24 teams in the thick of it by the time you get to the 56, 57th game, man. And that's because that's the way the sport is. And then if you look at it from a perspective like I've been saying on all the sports, there's no crowd, so we don't know which players are going to perform better because they don't have that nervous tension, especially in baseball. You're at the plate. All you got to do is concentrate, you know, against the pitcher and pick up what pitches. You don't have to worry about crowd noise. Like, there's going to be some players we can't even think of that's going to really – I think they're really going to thrive, man. I really believe that. What's your thoughts?
I honestly agree with you on that aspect, and this is something that I don't like. I mean, I like the idea. I mean, I was pitching it to somebody not too long ago. Maybe if they had the stadium at 25 to 30% capacity, and just divide everybody up equally, you know, to maintain that social distancing and maintaining that safety awareness, maybe that can be, and as time goes on, they can gradually, you know, introduce, you know, open up more seating, you know, as this pandemic starts to wear down, or depending on how you look at it. And by the time the playoffs come around after game 60 and we start heading into the postseason, we're back to full capacity again. And then home field advantage actually means something again, because home field advantage is something that plays a big role in all of sports, no matter where you are. You know, for the one exception, of course, is the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is always in a neutral city. But everywhere else, if you're playing a series, if you're playing a series and you're on the road, you know, for instance, if you're playing in Boston or you're playing at Yankee Stadium or you're playing at Wrigley with all those screaming fans, you know, 49,000 screaming fans, you know, going nuts, that does wear a toll on you, and especially in crucial games and crucial moments of any postseason series. I mean, you know, luckily for us, you and me and a lot of the stakeholders, we're very seasoned into that, because, you know, Yankees baseball, you know, seems in the postseason kind of go hand in hand for the most part, except for a few, you know, rocky years. But aside from that, I mean, you know, that rumble in the Bronx is something that, you know, that we as sports fans and we as Yankee fans live off of. And, you know, it's because we already know it's expensive as hell to go to the game, as it is. But watching it on TV, watching that capacity crowd going ape shit for every single pitch, for every single out, for every single ground ball that gets by the infield and ends up being a crucial play in towards the outcome of the game, those things are important. That crowd noise makes it a big, big difference. But
absolutely.
Also, what I like about the 60 games is the schedule. You're not traveling far. You're basically staying within your region. You're playing the AL East, the NL East, and I think that's about it. And you're playing them a bunch of times. I don't recall them playing any games in the Central or anything like that. So you're going to be seeing the Nationals. You're going to see a lot of the Mets. You're going to see, of course, our division, the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Rays, the Blue Jays. But then you'll be seeing the Phillies, the Marlins, the Mets, the Pirates, all gang of teams. I'm forgetting the last two.
DC,
but
Philly,
this should be fun. Should be interesting. Whoever wins the championship, of course, you know, everybody else's fans are going to say, you know, it's a shortened season, it doesn't really count. But hey, it's going to be fun. This is exactly what we as a society need. Kind of counteract towards recovery of who we are as people, as Americans. But, hey, how was your fourth? I never asked you. How was your fourth?
Oh, a fourth was cool as far as food and burgers and dogs. And I did a lot of my traveling, seeing family, because obviously there's no sports. So just been seeing a lot of family, New York, upstate New York, in the Philadelphia area, Delaware, things like that. So it's just been a lot of just catching up with family before the fourth, and it's just been chill as of recently. And especially with sports coming up at the end of the month across the board, I am definitely going to be chilling. So I got a lot of my rounds of seeing family, because a lot of times, you know, I've been busy, whether it was sports or leisure traveling, but now it's just more about catching up with family, just on some low-key stuff, you know, just chilling and watch a movie, maybe a beer here, just catch up and things I haven't seen in a while. So my fourth was cool. Hopefully all is well with George, man. How was your fourth, man?
Fourth was pretty pretty cool. Hung out with my family. You know, my dad broke out the brand new grill, and you know, and we gave it some fun. And you know, a lot of guys doing fireworks around here illegally, I might add, but it was fun because you had people competing each other. For some odd reason, two bald, chunky, bearded guys freaking decided to go head for head in terms of fireworks. One on one corner, one on the other. So it was funny, but it was a fun time. And I want to personally congratulate my baby sister Angie. She's having a boy. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to be an uncle again. And of course, you know, I still don't know what I'm gonna have. I'm gonna have a new addition come November, December timeframe. So we'll soon find out what I'm having. And but let's talk about the New York Knicks and what they're doing.
Yeah. Let me say this real quick. Before you go in on the Knicks,
sure,
that's the great point you said about sports. Sometimes, you know, you made the point about the crowd noise and the home field advantage, and I get that. I just think, and you hit on the nail on the head of what I've been saying, and that's it. That is, when they look at sports decades from now, like 50, 60 years from now, and they look back at the year 2020, they're going to look at sports at this time in history. It's going to be in history books. That they found a way to put together some sort of season. Now, they could deal with without the crowd noise or the home crowd. They'll probably figure it out maybe in the next year or two or whatever. But they just – I think the bigger picture is they got sports back. They didn't quit. And I think that's – you know, especially as Americans, man. So that's the whole takeaway I get out of the entire thing. They're finding ways to put it together despite the circumstances. They didn't quit. And I love that for all the sports.
Absolutely, because hockey is going to be. I caught a little bit of UNRP last night, and it's going to be insane. I think that, you know, that this is going to be a really fun season. If you're definitely a big hockey guy, and if you're not, this is probably the best time to learn because everything is going really fast. It's going to be exhilarating. It's going to be something that, you know, that everyone's going to be able to enjoy. Of course, with baseball coming back, at, you know, in about a couple, well, another week or two, and you know, the NBA, you know, shortly right after that, and I mean, unfortunately, with the NBA, we won't be seeing our New York Knicks, which is probably a good thing and a bad thing all in all. Good thing, obviously, because you know they're still looking for a new coach. They just hired Worldwide West about 2 weeks ago. I was doing an Omni fan, video conference, and. And it's interesting. I had the great opportunity to talk to former Knick Chris Childs, and mm-hmm. you know, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about how things were back in the 90s. I had the fortunate opportunity to ask him about, you know, when he did the cutthroat side against Miami in 97, it was, or 98. And He openly admitted that was a cutthroat. He absolutely hates the Miami Heat, and you know, he's a Knick at heart.
Thank goodness.
And you know, that's the one thing, you know, that I really enjoyed about, you know, talking to Chris Childs and listening to him and just getting his perspective on who the coach might be, who, you know, what does the addition of Worldwide West, you know, really mean to the organization. And you know, it's really interesting because you can be very optimistic, and it's hard not to, considering that we've been so, we're so hungry for, you know, for sports and for the NBA to get back and for our Knicks to get back, and you know, to see what the next move is and what these new moves mean and how everything is going to play out. And you know, of course, my perspective is, look, we had our chances we had Isaiah Thomas, we had Donnie Walsh, we had Phil Jackson, we had Glenn Grunwald, we had, you know, Steve Mills. We had all these guys all trying to, you know, and it always looked like it was a fucking money grab or just a, you know, right. Just the wrong person in there. Now you got Leon Rose at the helm with Worldwide West as a consultant. You still got Scott Perry as a GM. They're looking for a head coach, which I don't know. Part of me, you know, is like, wow, it's like you're not even going to give Mike Miller an opportunity. considering the turnaround he gave this team once they finally, you know, pulled the trigger on letting go Fizdale. It's good. You know, I'm very optimistic at this moment, but I'm also concerned if this is not just another money grab. And and somebody else also tweeted me. He's like, do I think that this is just another attempt for Dolan to, you know, to lure LeBron to the Knicks? And, you know, with now, if you read the dirt sheets all over, Bleacher Report, ESPN, this, you know, the Score, NBC Sports News, you know, all these comments about the decision that occurred 10 years ago when LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami, and he interviewed with the Clippers, with the Nets, with the Knicks, the Bulls, Cleveland, and Miami, and just I was just thinking to myself, it's like, why is this information coming out now? You know, 10 years removed, like it doesn't really matter anymore.
You know why? You know why, man? It's idle. It's nothing to talk about, man. They're trying to find things to piece together. You got to keep the circulation of articles and news going. You got to think outside the box. That's all this really is. I mean, it's 10 years ago. You're right, bro. It's just 10 years ago. It's a decade. Like,
exactly.
You know, it could have been
10 years
ago. Like a year last. All right.
And the crazy thing is that once that comment was made to me about that, if this is possibly just another opportunity to lure LeBron here, or lure some kind of a major superstar, because there's only like two or three, you know, into New York to, you know, to finally change the fortune of this organization. And you know what? It's not that far fetched. I mean, Leon Rose was his former agent. You know, he had Rich Paul. You know, he still does have Rich Paul, but, you know, Roy West and Leon Rose were, you know, a lot of the guys that were in his inner circle, in his dealings, and now he's the president of the New York Knicks. Is it so completely far-fetched that, you know, this is just another money grab, or this is just another you know, really bad attempt at trying to lure LeBron James over to the Knicks? I don't know. With this information coming out right now, the timing of it makes me wonder. And I don't know, dude. They're still interviewing guys for the head coaching position. After a couple of weeks ago, they were saying that, you know, Thibodeau was a front runner, but it's kind of interesting, you know, that they still haven't named a head coach going into this, you know, this really, you know, shortened season that we're about to have.
Are you still all in with Thibodeau, or is there somebody that we have not discussed that you like more than the rest as far as head coach candidates?
I'm still going to go with Thibodeau. However,
okay.
After the discussion with Chris Childs, Mark Jackson does make a lot more sense now than he did to me, let's say, a month ago. You know, a month ago I was, you know, 100% Thibodeau. Now I'm more like 70-30, you know, Thibodeau. And it would make all the sense in the world to hire either one of these, you know, these brothers to, you know, as the head coach. It's just, okay, you got the head coach. Now what? You know, you're hearing rumors of Devin Booker. You're hearing, you know, you're hearing rumors about trading this guy, trading that guy, going after this guy, going after that guy, you know, gearing up for an off season to make a splash. And at the same time, I'm just wondering, is like, how much of this is actually true? Because now more than ever, it's harder to sit there and decipher which part, you know, which information is being leaked out as just clickbait and which information is actually a viable situation for the Knicks to, you know, to pursue and actually and actually be successful at that.
Let's think all this out, man. Let's think all this out. Like, you know, I don't look at the clickbait at all or the news articles at all. But just logically, let's just look at it. I mean, we've been down this road before as far as in between head coaches. So it's almost like, you know, you already know. We talked about it probably even since the inception of this platform. I've been a Mark Jackson, get Mark Jackson guy. We can go back to these episodes. You know, Chris was on these episodes.
I was
like,
there. I remember.
Mark Jackson. Yeah, you were there. I'm saying you were there since inception. Like, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Due to, even through the Knicks trivia years. This, you know what? We should have been. We should have brought that back tonight. But anyway, maybe next week or next 2 weeks.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Point is, it just hit me as soon as I started talking. As far as Mark Jackson, like, we've been talking about Mark Jackson for years on this platform. Like, he should have been the head coach. So, but does Mark Jackson want to be the head coach? That's the what has he said? That's question number one. Question number two for you, and this goes back to all the other points, because I know you said earlier on Instagram about the Knicks season ticket situation, if you want to talk about that. But what kind of culture, that was my main question for tonight for the Knicks part of the episode. Leon Rose, what culture do you want to see with the Knicks? Because we've been talking about that the last two episodes here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Like, there's a lot of questions, but Leon Rose, what kind of culture do you personally want to see with the Knicks? Number two, the Knicks season ticket situation. Number three, Leon Rose and the head coach. Does Mark Jackson, does he want to be head coach? Like, I know I want him as head coach. I've been saying that for, what, 5 years. But what do you think? Does he, like, have we heard from him? And I haven't heard from him, you know?
Yeah, that's been like the biggest question for me as well. Because every time that, you know, a fellow Knicks fan would say who they want as head coach, they would always, you know, Mark Jackson's usually at the top of everybody's list, you know, right after Jeff Van Gundy. And obviously Jeff Van Gundy is out of the question. He's well too comfortable in his new gig at ESPN. Mark Jackson has also got himself made very comfortable, you know, calling games for ESPN and TNT. So does he really want to step out? In my personal opinion, he's just not going to voice it out because he's waiting for the right opportunity. He's not going to sit there and voice it out to the people. Look, I'm available to coach. And then he gets a very big contract offer for, to return to the head coaching position, you know, in some place like Minnesota or something, or maybe even Chicago, or, you know, Lord knows where. He's probably waiting for the right key opportune time. And I mean, the betting money is that he's waiting for that Knicks job. He's waiting for that call from Leon Rose to interview for the head coaching position. But there hasn't been any news about it. There hasn't been one, you know, confirmed sighting of Mark Jackson at Madison Square Garden or at Tarrytown at the Knicks training facility or of anything. So you raised a good question. Does he even want to come back? My personal opinion is that he does, because he probably wants to rewrite the narrative that he left behind when he left Golden State. You know, because people always, you know, always want to, you know, give him all the credit of rebuilding that franchise and getting those players in line, you know, before they went on their, you know, on their dynasty years. So, I mean, it's still Thibodeau's job. It's still Thibodeau's job, in my opinion. But I think that Mark Jackson is holding out for that right position, that right job, that right opportunity. And, you know, unless things break down in Los Angeles, I think he wants to come back to the Knicks and rewrite the history, unless there's just something there between he and James Dolan that we – you know, that we probably are overlooking, considering that Dolan's already, you know, kind of dissed a lot of the, you know, the Knicks fans or like the former Knicks alumni. I mean, yeah, he gave John Starks and Larry Johnson and Allen Houston all jobs, but look how he's treated Charles Oakley. I mean, he almost didn't even want to recognize Anthony Mason when he passed. You know, I don't know what, you know, how he still feels about Patrick Ewing, because those are the guys that you still want to honor, right, and you still want to, you know, at least consider to keep within your organization for good publicity, you know, great community outreach work and things like that. Obviously with Patrick, it's different since he's the head coach of Georgetown, but those are just things that, you know, that we're just not privy to. Is there an underlying reason between James Dolan and Mark Jackson in which why there hasn't been any communication or any leaked information regarding him?
But let me ask you this though. The question about what about the culture that you would like to see with Leon Rose? Because I think the answer you may give has a lot to do whether Mark Jackson does come or does not come. What do you personally, Knickerbocker Avenue, wants to see how Leon Rose retool the culture of the New York Knicks?
Well, obviously, you want a winning attitude. You want the huge perception of the Knicks to be a lot more transparent, and as well as being able to reverse all that negative criticism that this team has endured over the last 20 years. You know, now that I'm not saying I want the defensive culture that, you know, that Pat Riley and Jeff Van Gundy had during the 90s. No, I don't want that. I don't necessarily want that. That time worked. That culture worked for that time because it was a different NBA. Now you look at a guy wrong and you get a whistle. So a full defensive culture would not necessarily be, you know, may not correlate perfectly with today's NBA. What I would to see is more of a team camaraderie and a sense of accountability in terms of doing your job. Because this organization hasn't done that. Not even during the 2012 season when Carmelo led the team to Game 6 of the Eastern Semis. There has to be some level of accountability.
But do you think Leon Rose and Worldwide West are those type of men that's going to demand that type of criteria, accountability? You think those from top to bottom?
It all depends. I think it all depends on who they name as the head coach, because if you name Tom Thibodeau for that, then this is exactly what you're looking for. If you name Mark Jackson, that's more or less what you're looking for. If you hire anybody else, a Kenny Atkinson, a Jason Kidd, or anybody else, then you're just making just stupid basketball decisions that you're not exactly the one to be making that decision for.
Okay.
But that's not saying that any of those guys are not suitable candidates. They are, and they should all get an NBA head coaching job once they're able to. But New York is not the place for them to do it. To me, in my opinion. You need a guy that is no nonsense, similar to Jeff Van Gundy, similar to what Mike Woodson was supposed to be, you know, in early on when he took over as head coach. We need somebody that holds guys accountable and will really get on these players to give forth 100% effort at all times. It's hard to do, I understand that. But at least 80% of the time, That's a winning season, and that's something that I'm hoping for, because so far all I've heard in terms of Leon and Wes and even Steve Stout is going to be like some sort of an image consultant is talking about how to rebrand the Knicks and how to talking about changing the logo and changing the image and the perception. Well, it only matters if it's on the court. You know, winning solves everything, and it all depends on this next move. Who do they select to become the head coach to man the ship with the talent that we have already in stock? Because there's not many of them, because a lot of their contracts expired. And who you decide to bring in and how you're going to hold every single one of those individuals accountable. Because at this point, just making the playoffs for any Knicks fan at this point is a win. Just being a contestant.
Yeah, that's a start.
Once we start doing that for a couple of years, then we can start talking about the next step, contending for the title.
All right, but here's the thing, though. I don't necessarily disagree with you. Now, I will say this. I think the Knicks need a big name as far as, if it happens to be Tom Thibodeau, fine. I mean, a big name head coach, guy who's been around. But when I look at Leon Rose and Worldwide West, these are guys who have relationships. These guys are more relationship dudes. These were agents. These were guys who had the ins and outs, not with just around the league with pro players, but especially through the college ranks, even as low as the high school ranks. So
right.
they understand the AAU culture of recruiting players or recruiting the recruiting relationship of players and how to build through that. But that is totally different than building a roster. Like, it's one thing to be a super agent and have multiple players as, you know, clients through different teams. But when you're actually trying to put this thing together under one, you know, through one organization, it's totally different. And as you already know, it has not worked out for Phil Jackson. It has not worked out for prior guys who, you know, whether presidents, GMs, for the most part. So that's the challenge in itself for them. I say all this to say is this. I think they're probably going to stick to what they know. Now, when you say accountability, I don't know if they – I'm not saying they won't address accountability. I just think they're going to go with what they know. And I think what they know is relationships with players. They're going to try to work that angle. And I think they're going to get a head coach who's built on relationships. Maybe some accountability is going to be a part of the equation. It may not be a Tom Thibodeau. I'm not saying I'm not anti Tom Thibodeau. I'm just thinking they're going to go what made them successful all these decades, and that's part of the culture. Like we said about rebranding, the logos and all that. That's part of the culture too, man. Rebranding and everything, man. I mean, if they happen to go that route, they may. It's just one of those things where it's all about making this a place to want to come as a possible player or a free agent. Hey, Av, let me ask you this: as far as you know, you mentioned on the gram, man, about the tickets, man. What's your thoughts on that, man? The season tickets.
Well, as somebody who was almost a season ticket holder, and when I was discussing pricing and stuff like that, this was obviously prior to this season when, you know, the possibility of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, or Kemba Walker or a number of free agents were going to, you know, were considering the Knicks as a viable option. You know, I remember talking to the guy and considering, and even while touring the, you know, Madison Square Garden and things of that sort, the idea of selling tickets on a possible pipe dream is what shut me off. Now, they're doing this now without even knowing that fans can attend. So this, to me, is a blatant, disrespectful, and irresponsible act by the Madison Square Garden sales team and Madison Square Garden as a company. It's ridiculous. Who in their right mind is putting out season tickets, you know, to the world's most famous arena, one of the most expensive seats in all of the NBA, and you're expecting people to put out hard-earned money for a game they may not be able to attend? It's like, wow. If this is the kind of thing that, you know, I don't know if Leon Rose is behind this, but if this is a sign of things to come, for, you know, under the tutelage of these two CAA powerhouse agents who are now at the helm of the New York Knicks organization, then everybody start, you know, buckle up tight and be prepared for the most nonsensical thing, the most nonsensical season that we've ever had, and that's including the Isaiah years and the Scott Layden years, because those were
question
all
number one.
You know,
question number one, was Leon Rose behind it as far as putting that information out there, as far as the availability of that's number one.
From what I understand, he does not.
Okay, fair enough.
This was strictly a Madison Square Garden thing. This is above him.
Okay. I'll say it like this, man, because you're absolutely correct about the Knicks tickets. It probably is the most expensive ticket in the NBA. I would probably put the Lakers at the Staples Center. They're high as hell too. But
they have a reason to be.
Well, the Knicks too, but at the same time, the Knicks do too. I'm going to tell you why. Because as bad as the operations on the court, you know, are not a good basketball product, you got to look at it like this. Because the Knicks are, it's almost like going to Madison Square Garden is it's an experience, bro. And you know this. You go to the Garden, the energy, the electricity in that building is just like none other in sports. And I mean, when I say sports, I'm talking about any league. Like going to the Garden is like the top five venue in entire sports. It's like you got to put it up there with Broadway. It's like going to a theater performance. Now, whether you want the Knicks to win, but more times than not, they're going to lose. But the thing is, just being in there, the energy of that thing is just none like it's like none other. So the whole it's classic supply and demand. The Knicks ticket is still going to be. Imagine like this. Imagine if the Knicks were consistently winning 50 games. Imagine how harder it is to even get a ticket when they're winning consistently 50 games a year. It's going to be harder to get.
I remember during the 90s how hard it was to get tickets then.
Right.
And back then, you know, the average price was about $90, you know, and so it's a third of what it is now. And so I could only imagine if the Knicks were winning now, say for instance, and this is just hypothetical, if LeBron did come to New York in 2010, and he brought Wade and Bosh and the team was consistently winning and winning championships here and there, getting into the Garden would be almost
impossible.
Like
damn near impossible.
You would have to pay $300 just to get on the train and to get off up at Penn Station just so you can walk up to the Garden. That's how bad it would have been, because that place that place sells out,
you know,
as it is. Imagine how many, you know, how many serious season ticket holders will become of this. Basically, that whole arena would be loaded with season ticket holders in, you know, all 20,000 seats. That's ridiculous.
But the Knicks still, even with a bad product, still sell that place out a lot. They have it so good. Because the Madison Square Garden is just an experience, man. Whether it's for the hockey or the basketball, since we're just talking about the hoops, man. Like, people want to go to the Garden. Like, people travel from all parts. You know, they travel to go see their teams, especially if they're a Laker fan. You know, even the Bulls in the 90s. Like, they want to be in the Garden. You want to feel that energy. As I'm telling you, and I know you've been to Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo, and nice arena. It ain't the Garden as far as energy. It ain't.
No, it's
not. I've been the West Coast, down in Florida, I've been in the United States, all of it. It ain't the Garden.
I've been to Staples.
I don't want to lose this point, because Staples is like the Garden, honestly. It is. It has become.
It is.
I got to be real. It has. Yes,
I've been to Staples. I've been to the Miami Arena before
the
game. I've been to Chicago Stadium.
The arena, Miami Arena, energy is nowhere near the Garden. And that's the thing about it, because they've been winning. It ain't their crowd can't fuck with the Garden, man, at all. Not as far as energy. Now the only one is the Lakers. The only one. And maybe I'll put a new one right now. I'll give you a new one. And I think this is what goes back to this culture conversation. You know another arena that's kind of got that, it rebranded as culture? And a lot of it had to do with redevelopment in Toronto. Look at what they've done as far as energy. You got people in the playoff game. They're outside of the arena. You a sea of people. You can't even see how far the crowd goes back. That's how... I would love to see that at the Garden. I've been thinking about that for years, man. If the Knicks ever got good consistently winning 50 games, if you can't get into the Garden, be right there outside at Penn State, right outside at, you know, right outside on 7th Ave, right outside of the Garden. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I just don't think the NYPD and the Transit Authority would ever allow it because it would impede, the traffic. However, I know exactly what you mean.
See, that's the rebranding of culture. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying to do that, but that's the type of attempt I would like to see the Knicks do, because the Raptors did it. They rebranded their basketball operations to become that's the unofficial team for Canada. Like, you have people literally outside at that square outside of that arena, like during playoff games. No other team in the league does that. Like, the Knicks have so many fans, and there's so many really want to come out the closet. They would support the Knicks if the brand, the culture gets to a point where they could just support it. Obviously, you're right. It starts on the court. I say all this to say, man, the Knicks have it in them, man. They have the rebrand of the culture in them if they choose to go that route. But you've got to put a winning product out there. That is first and foremost, because the Knicks is really still a hot ticket. That's why they could throw it out there, throw that bone out there. Who wants to buy even during a pandemic?
But it's just the irresponsibility of, you know, putting out a ticket offer for somebody who who's probably never been to a Knick game. We're not talking about you and me or Dom or somebody who's never who's been to a few in their lifetime. I'm talking about the average New Yorker or tri-state person that lives in the tri-state area who's never been to is a diehard Knick fan, has never been to Madison Square Garden, and here comes this olive branch from the Garden saying that you can ticket sales are available now, but we don't know yet if you can even come in. So we'll take your money, but we're not necessarily going to give you anything yet. And I mean, that's the part where I kind of feel like it's a little bit irresponsible. I mean, I'm sure that there's probably some kind of contingency plan behind it if you do reserve seats for the Garden and they tend not to, to open it to the public. I'm pretty sure there's some kind of contingency plan for a future game down the line once this pandemic is over. But,
right,
with the changes that are supposedly on, coming down the pipe, the rebranding of the team, the restructure of the team, the new identity of the team, and then put out the season ticket holder season ticket offer. It's almost like, again, you're selling the public, the average person, a pipe dream that may or may not come to fruition, and that's something that I feel that's really kind of disgusting about the New York Knicks and the Madison Square Garden Company and James Dolan, for that matter. I'm sure you don't, and we can agree to disagree, but I just feel like that the Knicks, considering that they're not going to be playing in this this shortened season, they're not going to partake in it. They're not going to partake in that other in that other league that's supposed to be like a extended summer league with the pro players still playing, and still players are holding out because of the pandemic. This seems like an injustice to the average, the average fan who's just wanted to go, to experience Madison Square Garden, as you just alluded to and just how you explained it. It is an experience. I've been to Barclays Center. It's not the same. Full Center. It's somewhat the same, but not exactly. I've been to the Forum. I've been to Chicago Stadium. I've been to the old Boston Garden. I've been to, the new one they have, the TD Bank Garden now. I've been to some of these places, and it's an experience, but it'll never hold a candle to Madison Square Garden. It holds the same way as the old Yankee Stadium did. When you walked in there, you can feel the history immediately as you're walking into the old, ballpark in the Bronx. You go into there now, it's there, kind of, but it's not exactly, because it's all new, it's modern, it's this, it's that. I've always preferred the old stadium over the new stadium any day of the week, because this is the history and what that landmark means to us. But Madison Square Garden is right now our landmark.
But you got to look at it like this. At the end of the day, the Knicks are still a business. Like, I understand it may look insensitive to put that out there, but you're in the business to make a profit. It sounds harsh, but they would not do that if they did not know people are – there's going to be people – there's probably people demanding tickets now, even during the pandemic. So they're going to be like, hey, man, we're going to try to make our money. Now, they may even do – I don't know the details, but I'm saying kind of like what you alluded to. They're probably looking at it as, okay, if there's not going to be a season, we could always defer what you're putting down on your tickets to a following season or the time We could put fan knees in the seats. You know, it's still a business at the end of the day. I mean, I don't see it, it may come off as insensitive and people are work, but you gotta look at it like there's always a flip. There's always a yin to a yang too. Because think about it like this: you get season ticket holders, you could actually pay the furlough workers at the Garden, people who work the concessions at the Garden, people who are out on money. People could actually get paid now if you get people to put into their season tickets. You have a way to generate revenue.
What's the point in paying them? But Steve, what's the point in paying them if the fans aren't there? You mean paying them while they're out? They're getting unemployed now. That's why the unemployment rate is the way it is.
I'm assuming if fans are going though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The deferral part is what I'm saying. Like if you put the money down, it's to when the fans actually do go. That's what I'm saying.
Right, but let's see, here's the drawback. Here's the drawback, because the New York Knicks and Madison Square Garden have consistently increased their ticket sales over time. So, say, for instance, this is the current situation. So the season ticket offer is on the table right now. Guys are putting down $2,500, $5,000, whatever the case may be for your season ticket, no matter what kind of plan you get.
Right.
And there is no season, or there is a season, but no attendance. And then when it comes to defer those initial sales over to the time when the fans are back allowed into the arenas and go back to normal, the price has just already been jacked up. So now you're talking about forking over more money just to maintain the seat that you want, because you may be paying for courtside right now next to Spike Lee today, and next season it probably gets you barely on the last row of the 200 level, which is still not bad, but it's not what you paid for. You know what I'm saying? That's the part where I have a problem with, with this offering.
At the end of the day, people are going to want to go to the Garden. I mean, that's why they do this. This is why they're putting it out there, because think about it like this. It's not like the Knicks are bad and there's nobody going to the Garden. Then they'd be really in a trouble way of getting people into the building itself. They don't have that problem. They don't have that problem of people going there. It's just a matter of the team winning to build a championship roster. And here's the other point, and this is where the Nets come in. Before all those years, the Nets played in Jersey. They were never necessarily a threat to the Knicks brand. Now you're talking all this, we're talking about the rebranding of the Knicks from the top bottom. You have to compete with the Nets. You kind of have to fight for whoever fans are trying to go from the Knicks to the Nets or try to retain whatever local fans between the boroughs or throughout the tri-state. So the rebranding, you have to compete against the Nets, because remember, this is what we talked about a couple of years ago when they moved to Barclays. You know, this is about when Jay-Z was at the top of the Brooklyn Nets, when he had some ownership stake and they had their rebranding and they were bringing people into Barclays, the Knicks have to compete with that. Now they're in a position to rebrand, because you actually have to start off locally. You have to go after those younger fans who are probably going to become either Nets fans or Knicks fans locally. If not, maybe some fan, some team that probably hopping on the bandwagon across the country. Maybe they're a James Harden fan or a Steph Curry fan or a Greek Freak fan or whatever, and they happen to be a Bucks fan. You're competing with – it's a national sport, as you already know. So they have – at least they don't have that issue with tickets. I'm glad they don't, honestly. I kind of look at it different, because now we're competing against the Nets. You know, we're fighting for, fans locally on top of that. Because remember, how much have we heard, Av? I'm a Nets fan. I'm a Knicks fan from Brooklyn, but I'm a root for the Nets because the Knicks ain't doing nothing. Now you got to try to – do you want to fight for those fans, or you want to fight for that portion of share of fans across the boroughs, the city? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, as a guy that lives in Queens, born and raised in Brooklyn, works in Brooklyn constantly, and of course all around the city, but my main focus right now is in Brooklyn. Listening to some of those people that just said the exact statement you just said, I'm from Brooklyn, I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm rooting for the Nets since the Knicks ain't doing shit. And the Nets also now have Kevin Durant. And mm-hmm. you know, Brooklyn has Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they look like they actually are, you know, are moving towards progressing and competing one day, as opposed to still trying to figure out from square one. It's disheartening. Anytime I see a black and white hat, I start to, you know, I almost want to vomit, because this is a Knick town. This is, to me, this is still a Knick town. But the reality is that there, like you, and you just alluded to a few seconds ago, there are a lot of closet Knick fans. And
yes,
it's crazy. It's crazy to say that, considering, you know, the kind of people that I usually associate myself with, especially when I do OmniFan, you know, you listen to them and they're diehard, they're loud, and they're passionate about the Knicks, but there aren't that many of them, and with good reason. So you're absolutely right. The Knicks have, you know, Leon Rose has to deal with not only reversing, you know, the narrative of and the perception of the Knicks, he at the same time has to compete with the Brooklyn Nets and
absolutely.
those fair weather, you know, fantasy football, you know, or fantasy basketball fans that only like certain players. So how is he going to compete against that? Considering that he's an agent and you talk about relationships, you would think that he'd be able to allure some of those, you know, some of those personalities onto this roster. But then, since I'm on the topic of relationships, this is something that I'm very concerned about, because it was relationships that kind of got us into this kind of nonsense. Steve Mills made certain choices because of the relationships he built with certain players. I can go as far back as Kevin Knox. When he selected Kevin Knox, it had nothing to do with basketball. It had to do all with the kind of person that he was, and the kind of interview that he, and the kind of meeting he had with Steve Mills and Scott Perry. We could have ended up with Miles Bridges. We could have ended up with somebody else. We could have ended up with somebody that had a motor. And now we're looking at Kevin Knox going into his third year, and we're looking at him and like, well, is this motor ever going to get started, or is he just another draft pick bust? You know, we got stuck with Frank Ntilikina, and you know, people are still trying to, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt and still being his fan, but is he a bust? RJ Barrett. I mean, yeah, the kid has a shitload of potential, and he had a pretty decent, you know, rookie season. But what can he do? How is he going to follow that up when the season does return? Those are kind of, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want a guy that's about relationships. I want a guy that knows talent and knows how to relate to the top talent of the NBA, and in
right.
terms of recruiting them and grooming them, into becoming top name New York personalities, because let's be realistic. The last top New York personality superstar that we've had was Derek Jeter, maybe Eli, but it's still Derek Jeter, and people are still talking about Carmelo Anthony like he just left the Knicks, and it's been almost 3 years. He needs to be able, Leon Rose and Wes and Stout and Perry and everybody in the front office, they need to be able to get on the front page, on the same page, and first evaluating the top talent, to find that talent, and then worry about the relationship afterwards. Worry about the relationship once they get here. Let's get the talent in here first, because
right.
we need talent.
Okay, now we got about 5 minutes. Let me ask you this real quick, because the rest of the NBA, we'll definitely have time to tackle all that, because I mean, we probably could do 5 episodes on just what we just said about the Knicks alone, and we should. You know,
we're probably going to talk about this later anyway.
NBA,
so go ahead.
The rest of the NBA, right? I think the Washington Wizards is just forfeit. Just don't even worry about going to Orlando. I don't see the point at this. You know, they were one of the teams on the outside looking in, and Bradley Beal's no longer. He's done for the rest of the season. There's no point. There's no point for them going. So I don't understand that. But there's several other players like Gordon Hayward, not opting because of, you know, the birth of a child coming into the world. Dwight Howard, I think, is opting in with the Lakers. The Brooklyn Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie tested positive. Torian Prince tested positive. The NBA scrimmage schedule starts in, what, 2 weeks? Yeah, July 22nd.
Something like that.
Actually be 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, yeah. So they got about a week worth of scrimmage games before they get back to the start of the regular season, July 30th. That will be the Jazz versus Pelicans. What is your thoughts as far as playing down in Florida with the, you know, the cases spiking up, the players that are opting in, opting out? We talked about Jokic last time, tested positive. He should be probably done with quarantine at this point, but the Denver Nuggets and Ariza is not opting in. What's your thoughts on the rest of the NBA?
I do believe that the Washington Wizards, the only reason they're there is so that the top teams can beat up on them and scrimmage against them for now, so they can say, hey, this wasn't just a practice, this was actually an actual game. they're basically tackling dummies for in the basketball sense. But the rest of the NBA, I think that the NBA may have to reconsider doing it in Orlando and start considering moving it to a different city or a different state that doesn't have where the COVID-19 cases are not on the rise. You know, possibly a place like Chicago or a place like Milwaukee or hell, even Toronto. I mean, even New York. I mean, the numbers here are growing down by the minute. But in terms of the actual play itself, this season for me is perfectly designed so that you would see the matchups that we felt we were going to get prior to the COVID thing. You're going to see in the playoffs in some way, shape, or form the Lakers versus the Milwaukee Bucks, or you're going to see, you know, teams like Toronto. And the only thing I can say to the fans is that you should not look at this like the regular basketball game. Like, if anything, you should just look at this as just something to watch and enjoy, not to sit there and to analyze it. Of course, we're going to, but I don't think that anyone should go into this play-in session thinking that it's going to be as competitive or as intriguing as a regular, situation and environment. So I think this is for the Lakers. Really, I think the Lakers are going to walk all over everybody. They'll probably meet the Milwaukee Bucks or the Toronto Raptors in the finals. But it will be interesting, considering that I think the regular season is not going to be that long. I think it's like, what, 10, 15 games, something like that, before they actually go, start going into their postseason tournament. And, you know, just everybody just enjoy. Just sit back and enjoy. Don't try to think about it. Don't try to do anything about it. Just sit back and enjoy the basketball, because a lot of players are not going to be playing. For the obvious reason of exposure or getting contaminated and infected, which is the right thing to do if you feel that way. And I'm just looking at the end of this whole thing and thinking, you know, LeBron's going to be holding up another trophy, because I don't see really. I mean, awesome. New Orleans looks kind of good. I don't foresee Brooklyn, you know, even cracking into the tournament. I don't see, I'm pretty sure that Milwaukee will walk away with the East, depending on how much of the team does return and, you know, has stayed healthy and stayed in shapes over the time. And Toronto will be interesting. I think Utah will still be interesting. And I think that's about it. I mean, the Texas teams, they'll be there, but I don't foresee them being anything. I'm kind of curious to see how Oklahoma City would react to it. I don't know if they're in this playing session or are they out?
Yeah, they're mid-season, like 5 or 6, something like that.
So I think I think this is perfect for them if they can if Paul and the crew can actually get into that. The Clippers, I don't know how many of them are actually still healthy or. But if they are, they'll be exciting to watch. But you know, if I'm gonna pen in anybody to be the NBA champion at the end of this thing, it has to be the Los Angeles Lakers, unfortunately.
All right, cool. Ab, quick thoughts. We got about 10 seconds left. Final thoughts, and then we wrap up, man.
Final thought is, everybody, hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope you enjoyed me running my mouth a little bit, you know, hollering at Steve. And I hope that everyone's staying safe, staying, you know, trying to enjoy the summer, but please maintain the social distancing. Please continue to wear masks. Don't complain about it so much. I mean, do whatever you have to do to protect yourselves and your loved ones as much as possible. Stay safe, be blessed, and enjoy the summer and enjoy the Bleed Blue show as much as you possibly can on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. That's what Knickerbocker App is telling you. Until then, you know where to find me. Holla at me. So I'm going to have all day every day.
Yes, sir. Now, Ab, now, in 2 weeks, we'll be back because that will be the start of the scrimmages, and then we'll be back the next night in 2 weeks for the Yankee home opener. I mean, if not the home opener, the Yankees opener versus the Nationals. So we'll have a post game on that versus the Nationals. And then, of course, we'll talk. That'll be the first day of the scrimmages for the NBA. So we'll talk more Leon Rose and Knicks and culture, because now you got me thinking about things I didn't really drill down or think about that we could really discuss on that episode.
But
and
isn't,
well
it kind of ironic,
isn't it kind of ironic,
Steve, quick question. Isn't it kind of ironic that the New York Yankees, the most storied franchise in all of sports, opens up this shortened 60-game season against the defending World Series champions people over the scheduling office over at Major League Baseball must have really knew that that's going to draw some eyeballs. You know, the defending champions going against the powerhouse Yankees, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you gotta sell it. But hey, you know what? It goes back to culture, man. Let me say this, because this was brought up on the baseball episode. I know we're out of time. We might get cut off. Let me say this, Ab. It goes back to culture, because we talked about this on the baseball episode, because Andrew McCutchen from the Phillies made a kind of a snark at the Yankees culture about clean shaven. You know how the Yankees in uniform, the players on the field, they can't wear long
right.
hair or clean shaven. Why do you think the Yankees have been so successful? Because they stick to their culture. They stick to, you know, it's almost like, you know, you're a military dude. It's all about we're going to all be one. No names on the back of the jerseys. This is the Yankee way. This is how we do things as a Yankee. This is why Derek Jeter was the captain all those years, Mattingly before him and all that. This always goes back to culture, and this is why the Knicks have to find their identity as a culture to lure people in and stick to it. Not everybody's Florida culture. That's why there's going to be some outside people like Andrew McCutchen is going to say, well, you know, I wish they try to do this. You know, I like them, but they at least got to change their ways. No, we've had 27 world championships for a reason. You know what I'm saying? This works for the Yankees.
What it is that not everyone understands that even
right.
though that you're that even you're playing a team sport, you know, and you have the name on the back, it's, you know, that most of these sports are superstar driven, but baseball's still a team sport. And the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, sometimes when they're at home, because they also don't wear the names on the back when they're at home, they still remember
right.
It's the team that wins. It's a team that plays together, wins together. If you're in it for yourself, or you're nitpicking at stupid details like shaving or keeping your hair short, then you're in the wrong business, buddy.
Yeah, or it's just not for you. It's just simply not for you, man.
It's just
Absolutely.
Not for him. That's why he didn't work out when he was here.
Right. All right, Az. See you in 2 weeks on the hoops, and we'll talk, man. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue. Oh, Av, if you go IG live, man, I look forward to your continued discussions on that. Definitely, we'll be tuning into.
Absolutely.
To
let me know, dude. I'm here all the time.
Hey, she set it up. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.